It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game. Hour number two right here at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio, Gil Alexander, and of course, Jason Kahn, producer number seven. We get tweets. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets? Jason?
Sounds like a great idea.
Let's put on the old Evel Knievel helmet and see what we got here. Man Bear Puig. I was on the wrong side of the worst baseball bad beat ever. Oh, talking about what Todd was talking about with his bad beats. I had over 8.5, 3-3 game. Robin Ventura hits a walk-off grand slam. Oh, this is a famous game. Got mobbed by teammates. Couldn't get around the bases. 4-3 final. He's talking about, was that 1999? Don't hold me to the year. But that's the famous grand slam single of Robin Ventura. Yeah, that was should have been 7-3, but he got mobbed after first base. So only the first run counts, 4-3. So you don't win on the run line. The over didn't hit when it was supposed to. Mets win. Mets win. Robin Ventura. Let's see what else we got here. FTM's Mitch Moss Infantry. Todd is always a great listen. He chimes in. Forrest Lehman. Wish them. Hashem will make an appearance assuredly. Kiss the Degenerate. Favorite segment of the week. Gil and Bill. So if time ever permits, love to hear you guys speak on, New York mobile betting coming. Well, let's see what Bill has to say about that here momentarily. Let's see. Not that NJ. Not that's NJ. I hope I'm saying that right. Whoever does not love Todd Wishnev on a numbers game just doesn't get it. So enjoyable. A good laugh on a morning after an 0-6 day. Much needed. Ooh, yeah, an 0-6 day. I agree with you completely, sir.
You're here.
Yes. If you don't like Todd, we're not friends.
I almost fell out of my chair. I was laughing so hard.
Desert Vagrant, eagerly awaiting the podcast if that producer could ever get around to it. That's for you, Jason. Remember, we're doing the podcast at noon. Get it up.
No problem. It'll happen.
Matt Grissom, always enjoy hearing Todd on VSiN, one of the most relatable and personable guests to ever come on the show. Please bring back Wishnev Wednesdays. Man, I'd love to. Todd and I used to have a ball in here on Wednesdays. We'd be on for 2 hours, like two brothers bickering at each other. I would consider that not for everybody, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was phenomenal. We would literally scream at each other about conversion rules. It's fabulous radio. All right, let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about Unscripted. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Oh, yeah. Intro music. See, Todd doesn't get his intro music. Crack gets intro music. How you doing, Billy?
Good. How we doing? Okay?
I'm doing very well. You know where I wanted to start? Last week, sure. You were on, you were talking about, you had BJ Flores, by the way, Bill's podcast called Wisecracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger. John Orlando, son of Tony Orlando. Candida. Yeah. Knock three times. Tie that yellow ribbon. You were talking about how you had BJ Flores on the podcast. BJ Flores, who we've had on a numbers game, we've had on the network, friend of VSiN, who was a former cruiserweight fighter who was training Jake Paul, and you were like, oh, Jake Paul is gonna kill Ben Askren. I will tell you, we had Jordan Sherwood on, who's a UFC guy, on Primetime Action, and Matt Brown, who has been betting UFC for a long time, and we were talking about how they both agreed Ben Askren was going to, you know, he was going to wait out a couple rounds, and then his cardio was going to be able to take over and beat Jake Paul. And then we saw Ben Askren at the weigh-in, and Matt Brown sent out a group text with five capital letters and exclamation points that said, abort, which is his way of saying, this dude did not train at all. He never been paid this much money before, already got paid, Bill Ady tells me, before the fight even started. So you got your win. Did you feel like it was a done deal anyway once you saw Askren at the weigh-in? How did you feel about your win?
Yeah, this is actually a big thing. Normally we are unscripted, but I'm glad you brought this up because this is really something I wanted to talk about. You know, you have to go by tells in life, and tells are having BJ on my podcast. Some of the things he said that he had, you know, you have to understand he's taken Jake all around the United States and sparred with 5 or 6 fantastic boxers. So he's saying this on my show, how good of a striker this guy is, how he's trained with all these guys. the tells are very important, though. And the tell was also my friend Teddy Atlas's podcast. He had Askren on. And when he had Askren on, Askren gave away some tells.
Let me interrupt you 1 second, Bill. Continue that story. It's Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Link Game Plus, and iHeartRadio, talking about Jake Paul and Ben Askren. Jake Paul knocking out Askren in the first round. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
So some of the tells were there, especially after watching Ben on Teddy's show in the first 10 minutes saying, well, whatever happens, I'm going to give it my all, but I'm going to have a paycheck. I'm sorry, I'm going to have a bank account, he said, a bigger bank account driving home that night. And, he said it twice during the first 10 minutes about having more money and basically getting paid more money than he's ever gotten paid in his life. And by the way, Ben Askren, what a sweetheart. What a nice guy. And he just was so nice on Teddy's podcast. I got to like the guy. But still, it's not going to stop me from betting against him. In this type of a sport, actually, almost like poker, the nice guy is the guy that's going to be in trouble. So, so just seeing this and seeing these tells, you have to understand what happened in this fight's amazing. I plan to have a lot of money on this fight. I mean, for me to go on your show, my podcast, Twitter, and talk about, I wasn't going to miss an opportunity like I did with people that follow me and friends and just viewers. They don't even have to be friends or follow me even, but just viewers on shows on social media. I wasn't going to miss the opportunity I missed when I bet Floyd over McGregor. And probably thinking about that, something I don't preach at all, I probably even overbet when it comes to Floyd anyway. I just kept on betting Floyd over Connor. And I remember that night looking as I'm watching the fight, and as I'm watching the preliminaries, I remember Stations Casinos begging again for Floyd money. I think the fight was around 2-1 or 250. Stations went down to like 160 or 170, begging for bets. And yet, even though I had a large amount, five figures, a good five figures too, I still went and put another 5,000 on it. Thinking about it after, I said, wow, you know, probably one of the biggest bets I ever made was on that fight. I wasn't going to miss it this time. But something scared me a little bit. My life is based around closing line value. And it definitely cost me money on this fight. Here, I'll just tell you right away. So the first bet I made was $6,000. Then I bet $5,000 at Circa minus 160. I posted my ticket on, when I post a ticket, it's not to brag what I bet. It doesn't mean, and it's all relative. It doesn't matter what I bet. What matters is that we have a sports book in town taking $5,000 on a fight like this. That's what I meant to do. And by the way, Matt, who runs Circa, the next day said, you know what? We're going to double limits. We're $10,000. So they were taking $10,000 on this fight. By the way, so were the sports books back in Jersey. Amazingly. I seen some of the tickets coming in from DraftKings. They were posting some on the internet and on the actual show. They were taking five-figure bets on this fight. This was and I'll tell you another thing. I think this was – no one's really talked about it that I know of. Maybe, Gil, you're more in tune to this. I think the sports books I think they were taking all, you know, favorite money, the sports books that are the brick-and-mortars like DraftKings and FanDuel, but yet – the offshore world, the sharper lines were just taking Ben Askren money. Because
I think that's generally true. Yeah.
This fight was minus 129. I seen this an hour before the fight, minus 129. But then, for people that don't know, let me tell you how this line worked a little bit. I gave this fight out to all my guys. I minus 160. I bet it minus 160. It went to 155. An hour later at Circa and I was like, oh my God, look at this. These guys really must be laughing at me making this bet. But I'll tell you what happened. It crashed down to minus 130, minus 140. The Square of sports books never went under 150, but it crashed. And then people don't notice about 45 minutes before the fight, the sharper sports books offshore went from that minus 129 and minus 130 right up to 150. and they closed around minus 150. There was a lot of late money on Jake the last hour. Now, when it comes to this type of an event, there's a lot of guys out there that middle and scalp.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know that, they lay, like, they'll lay a number and then take a number greater than that. They like middling and scalping. That's not what I do. I can't get enough down to make a, you know, I can't get enough down on stuff because, you know, I like to have a, you know, you only have a 3-4-5% edge on bets. So I really can't get enough down to make a living doing this if I'm betting 10,000 one way and scalping it back the other way. And there's not the opportunities out there like there was back in the 90s and early 2000s. And let's just face it, there's teams and syndicates out there that are using bot programs, screen scrapers. It's so hard and so tedious to do. I know it's worth doing. Trust me. I built the bankroll up doing it. If it wasn't for middling and scalping in the 90s, I wouldn't be where I was today. So I do know it was worth something. But however, this particular situation, I only bet the fight. But here's the thing, because I even went and I made a promotional video for PointsBet Socials talking about the fight. I said, you know, I see this fight going up, which I did. I actually thought this fight was going to close above the 160. I just thought the square money was going to come in town and volume was going to make them overmove the fight. But the other way came in. I don't know if it was, I still haven't really talked to nobody. I really don't know any syndicate or sharp guys that were betting on the underdog there. I really, for the first time ever, maybe I'm out of sync with this because I didn't inquire about it. I don't know why it moved that way, but there was a lot of money on the dog. But going back to the points of my video, I said, you know, just take them by knockout. You could take by knockout minus 110. I think that's the way to go. And even like BJ said on my podcast, I mentioned first round knockout on my podcast last week. He goes, well, I don't know if we're going to knock them out in the first round, but we're going to knock them out in the first four rounds. So yeah. You could have just done some shopping on that. You could have got 10-1, 9-1, 8-1. I seen all those three prices on the first, second, third, and fourth round if you were listening to BJ. But anyway, I'm rambling about this.
Yeah, let me talk about a couple things because and we are unscripted. Bill and I we start a conversation, yeah. We just end up places. So there's two things I want to go back and talk about. One is closing line value, and one is tells. Those are the biggest things that I seized upon that you just said. Let's start with the closing line value. Closing line value is something I've talked about many times on this show before, and it was part of my sports betting rearing in the 90s. Pinnacle used to put out a Pinnacle newsletter. They still do, I believe. But back in the day, it was a pretty regular Pinnacle newsletter, and it was penned by the pseudonym Simon Noble. I read them voraciously. My entire sports betting rearing was on that. By the way, Elihu Foistel, famous professional sports bettor, and he does other things as well, he told me years later that it was him who was writing that, and I believe every word of it that he says that it was him. And it was about the notion that, again, and I've said this many times, closing line value is how, the rate at which you beat closing line value is how a sports book determines if you are going to be successful or not moving forward. So again, the example I love to use, if you go 15-0 in short term, just going to use extremes here, if you go 15-0 in 15 baseball bets and I go 7-8, but I'm beating closing line value at a rate far greater than yours, they're going to consider me the better bet for being successful moving forward than they are you. That was how I was reared on the Pinnacle newsletter. I've mentioned this before on the show. Now, there's some old school sports book guys here. My mishpucha, Chrissy, for instance, will tell you, you know how I consider who's going to be a good better, Gil, if they're making money already, right? So there's different philosophies on that. But I will tell you that closing line value, because you said your whole life is sort of, you know, monitored, is sort of geared towards that. I have had full baseball seasons. Now, like a one-off like Paulin Askren, just like the NFL draft, like we don't really know what's happening with those, but let's just take a baseball season of bets. I've had baseball seasons where I've destroyed closing line value, like destroyed it, and either lost a little or barely made a little, right? So sometimes you have to also view these things as like super long-term. Just because you're beating it doesn't mean it's going to translate into successful bets in the short term. But I still do subscribe to the North Star of you try to beat it at as big of a rate as you can, because I do still correlate it with long-term success, even though it might take a whole long time for that to manifest.
You know, you said over a whole baseball season, and guess what? That's not even enough random sampling,
right.
Just like you say,
that's right.
To determine that's a successful formula. And just to let you know, it is a successful formula. But even over a random season where you may have had, let's face it, 300 bets, that's just not enough.
Not enough. Yeah, you're right.
It's not enough. It's not enough. If you use any kind of a back-tested method, back-tested methods are made up of tens of thousands of trials. So that's a very interesting comment. And, yeah, you're absolutely right.
The other thing we do, and so that we've talked about before, closing line value and how, you know, it is a North Star for bettors, and it just you have to view it long-term. You talked about tells right there, and I didn't know that we were necessarily going to go there. But as you were talking about, sometimes you have to follow tells in life. A lot of what we do in sports betting, this is, again, the reason why I decided to do a podcast on sports betting over a decade ago, is because I'm fascinated by everything sports betting, the psychology of it. It's a reflection of the human condition. It relates to so many other things that we encounter and experience in life. And so you were talking about how Askren, not once but twice, came back to, hey, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to be $500,000 richer afterwards, right? Tell. In your head, you're like, huh, that might be more important than anything else that I'm looking at, right? So the spectrum of sports bettors, there's the most mathematically driven people on one side. There's the most smoke and mirrors guy on the other. And my sort of blessing over the years has been I've been exposed and been able to talk to as many of these people as anybody has. And what I have found is that sometimes usually the answer is somewhere in the middle. But the tells are such a fascinating aspect of it. And I'm just thinking like one extreme. So Rory McIlroy literally tells us now that he's not playing as good of golf as he used to, right? He's even saying, I chased Bryson DeChambeau, his fitness. I've kind of ruined my swing in the process. I'm just not playing good golf. So that's the most extreme kind of tell, where he's literally telling you, like, right? It's the actual definition of the word tell. But I just think about some of the other things. And as you were talking, I was scribbling down. I was like, what other, like, tells in life, you know, sports-wise? I immediately thought about Ray Leonard in the ring with Marvin Hagler in 1987. Ray Leonard said, now you can choose to believe Ray or not, after he won the decision against Marvin Hagler, again, agree or disagree with the decision, Ray always said, he goes, when I knew I was going to win that fight is when in the preliminary, before the fight started, we're bouncing around the ring, and we both got to a point, me and Hagler, where we were about to almost knock into each other, and Hagler moved away. And I just danced through him, and he goes, I knew I was in his head at that time. That was his tell. That was when he knew he was going to. And so believe or disagree with Ray. I can tell you just from, you know, a couple things in my life that I remember thinking early on, when I was an early sports bettor, how I thought I could be good at this was, you know, once there was a, remember when Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, this doesn't have to do with betting, but I sort of translated it to betting in my head. When Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones got in their famous conflict after they had won two Super Bowls, and Jerry Jones got drunk at a bar, and basically nobody knew if Jimmy Johnson was going to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys moving forward. This is, you know, in the 90s. And they said there was going to be a press conference the next morning. And nobody knew, was the press conference going to be, hey, Jimmy Johnson remains our coach, or Jimmy Johnson is no longer going to be our coach. And 5 minutes before the press conference started, they're walking up, and Jimmy Johnson, and I immediately screamed to everybody around him, I go, he's out, he's fired. And people are like, how do you know that? I go, the tell is he's wearing a suit. If he was wearing Cowboys paraphernalia, he was going to stay. He's wearing a suit. He's out. And in retrospect, I remember that's just a tell, right? You have to be able to figure out in life, what are the clues? Now, that sounds so obvious in retrospect, but at that moment, it wasn't obvious to anybody in that room but me. And that sort of, like, for me, was one of these moments where you're like, I got that before everybody else did. The only other example, I'll leave it at this because I'm rambling now too. Remember the whole Duke lacrosse case, which obviously spawned a 30 for 30, was just a huge scandal. A Duke lacrosse player is accused of assaulting, I believe it was a young lady that they had hired. And she had filed a lawsuit against them. And it was all over the news, obviously. People remember the case. And one of the Duke lacrosse players, like the main guy, came up there and said, we did not touch her. We did not touch her. And people remember the narrative. It's a very easy narrative to cling to. These rich kids from well-to-do families who feel entitled. Obviously, they did this to this girl. And I remember after he went up there and he said that we did not touch her, I remember saying, I was like, they're innocent. And I remember my father-in-law at the time, he was mortified that I said that. I go, think about it. He's an intelligent kid who knows all about DNA evidence, right? He would never go up there. This was kind of after Kobe, too. He would never go up there and say there was no contact made whatsoever, right? He was so unequivocal about it. I was like, those guys are innocent. I bet you they didn't do anything. And that turned out to be right, too. So it's just from a gambling perspective, there's so many things we see on a daily basis and the NFL draft's a great example, which everybody's about to bet into. Things that these teams say, things that these teams don't say. It's often little things like that that we don't talk about enough on these shows. Sometimes those are the difference between winning bets and losing bets. Anyway, that was a long way to get to that point, but I think that's a great subject that you brought up on that. So kudos to you, sir.
Yeah, the tells are a great thing in gambling. We don't often see it in this situation. So I was happy to see it. And well, after the break, I still want to touch on this a little bit.
Yes, please. Absolutely. I rambled. My apologies. But just some of the things that come up. Tells. I mean, it's, by the way, one of the more successful sports bettors I know who I talk about, my buddy E, all the time. A lot of his stuff is tells. A lot of it. And I think, again, with the NFL draft, pay attention to what these front offices are saying, what they're not saying, as we get up to it a week from today. We'll come back more unscripted with the Crack Man on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Now based in Louisville, Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod this week features trainer Steve Asmussen, who discusses his Kentucky Derby horses, Midnight Bourbon, and Superstock, as well as his chances to win next week's Kentucky Oaks. Los Angeles Times turf writer John Sherva is also along to talk about how racing coverage has changed for him in recent years. There's also Twitter feedback on the dispute that limits Nevada betting on racetracks around the country. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available for download Friday at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored by First Bet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Let's do this one, Jason. This is from Dave Berver. Hashtag wear a mask, he says. New VSiN Live annual subscriber because of Gil's show. Thank you. Then he goes on to say this. Weird seeing him rather than just listening online. Might need to reconsider. Then he does a little wink emoji. He's messing with me. Maybe it's time for me to lose some weight. Vegas T-Bone. He was playing a video. Another Ben Askren tell. He was saying in many interviews, don't tie your ego to an outcome. Yeah, for sure. Don't tie your ego to an outcome. Bill Krakenberger is here, unscripted with the Crack Man. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, by the way. That was definitely another tell. Don't tie your ego to any kind of outcome. That should have said something as well. But you wanted to continue with that.
So I wanted to say, so now when you get up, you turn on this Triller network, which is new to me. You have to understand this network too was based on. I don't know if it. Let's just say this. And this is a strong statement, which I really don't know is right, but I would think so. I don't know if this network would have been the same if Jake would have lost this fight. You know, this whole show, the whole charade, I'll call it, leading up to the fight. Just think about this: when the fight was over, they dropped 20,000 balloons with Jake Paul's name on it and his picture, his likeness. Then they went to Diplo. And Diplo was singing a song with Jake Paul's name in it.
Love
everything
it.
Here.
Love that you
was
know
based
Diplo.
On. Yeah. Just think of the. By the way, I don't even know who Diplo was until that night. I heard the name, but I didn't know if that was a politician or a
crack
DJ.
Man.
I don't know.
Crack Man saying Diplo cashes at 20-1 for everybody on today's show.
Yeah, yeah. But if you watched that night and you seen everything leading up. And you seen Snoop on there, and I don't know, but I think Snoop owned a piece of the network or the production, promotion, something. So And they paid a lot of money that night. You know, they went old school, man. There was like Ice Cube up there. There was some really old school stuff up there. They paid a lot of money for this night. Who's the kid they all like? The skinny little white kid. Anyway, Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber. They paid a ton of money for these guys.
Yeah.
That night. So they to be honest with you, I didn't know one song Justin Bieber sung. I'm still waiting to find out if I know a song he sings.
He's a Canadian treasure. A Canadian treasure.
Oh, no, I know people love him. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. Great. But anyway, going back to the production that night, I personally was embarrassed. If I'm watching it with people, with girls, I'm watching with females, and it was an embarrassment. Well,
that was the biggest thing we saw on social that night, right? I can't remember what else I was watching that night, but I remember waiting to see when the Askren-Paul fight was going to take place, and all I kept seeing on social was people were losing their minds. Like, are they ever going to fight? Like, are they ever going to finally get in the ring? People were like, I'm going to fall asleep before this starts. That to me is the biggest, by the way, thing about all, you know, whether it was this fight in boxing or even UFC, right? The fact that it's not reliable yet to get on streaming. You know, they've had all kinds of problems here. We have a big card coming up Saturday. The whole experience is not quite up to snuff yet and on both counts. Like, you have to be able to know if you're going to pay for something that it's going to be an easy thing to pick up. And I know I speak for hundreds of thousands who have been like, totally is a pain. It's just not that easy and reliable at this point. But yeah, those shenanigans early on were ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it was kind of embarrassing if you're watching it with your wife, your kids. You don't want your kids nowhere by the set when you're watching one of these thriller shows. Mm. I mean, it's not, listen, it was a lot of rap music, which is not a big deal, but it was the words they were using. And even the announcers, listen, I'm actually friends with one of the guys that was up on the stage there. I was texting him back and forth. He wasn't one of the ones cursing like crazy, but it was just, listen, we all cursed. I mean, listen, I'm from the Bronx. I mean, we curse. But there was just, there's a place for it. And to have a professional announcer that's announcing about the fight and these commentators dropping F-bombs and smoking weed up on stage, it's just, it's not me. I'm too old school for that.
It's fair. I think maybe we're just getting old, Bill. But I'm with you. I'm with you on stuff. It's amazing what I notice now that I probably was on the opposite side of, you know, in my younger days. Definitely something to note moving forward. We'll come back unscripted with Crackman. By the way, the podcast, Wisecracks, with Bill and John Orlando. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready for all.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The spring sports betting action is in full swing, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We'll give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on Visa.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event and point spread weekly. Now's the time to sign up for your Visa 10-day free trial at Visa.com/subscribe. That's Visa.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, the crack man. You don't do any NFL draft, do you, Bill? You don't bet that, do you?
Oh, yeah. Gil, you don't remember? I'm sitting in your studio 2 years ago.
Oh, it's that's me, right. Yeah.
Me, you, and what was it? Oh, I think it was Lombardi.
Yeah, Michael Lombardi. Lombardi. Yes.
Yeah. And, Lombardi, I'm just showing Lombardi a computer printout of some props. It was kind of new back then. I don't remember ever seeing it before that 2 years ago.
I say that all the time. I still have a pinned tweet about the William Hill NFL draft props incident in 2018. And it's like that back then, it wasn't many of us betting that stuff. Like, very few people. Now, it's like everybody's been betting it for 20 years. That's how it feels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Very successful the last 2 years doing that.
Did you bet anything so far?
All right, let me close out my last thought on the fight, which was John Orlando and I back and forth yesterday. We were going to have Ozzie Smith on, actually, yesterday, and the great Wizard of Oz.
Man.
However, it was just John and I were saving that interview that we did for next week. But we got so into the fight talking back and forth. And John, listen, I love him to death, but John is it's a good blend for the show. He's very square. He likes to bet parlays. He made some comments to bet the Dodgers every game minus 1.5 runs. And you know, parlaying money, big money lines. But I need someone like that on there because he lets me say things and without insulting him. And yesterday he said something that it was an opinion on Twitter, though. And maybe in life he goes, "Oh man, that fight was so fixed. It was a fix." And I went crazy because I said, "Do you understand what a fix means? A fix, quote unquote, F-I-X." That means that Askren was in on it. Askren would take a fall. That's what you're saying, John? Because I actually got a little upset, but I don't get it. Listen, I love the guy. He said, "Yeah, it was fixed, man." I said, "Do you think someone's going to compromise their integrity, their reputation, their whole career being summed up as a guy that was involved in a fix and took a dive for a couple $100,000? Or, you know, I guess he's probably going to make $1 million or something, but still. And everyone has their price. I understand. I just think that the word fix is a big overused word when it comes to, you know, especially professional sports. Oh, I'm not even going to call this a professional sport, but professional sports and stuff. I just think it's so overused. It's an excuse that's used for sometimes losing bets. And now sometimes even if you're on the other side of that, my lawyer, who's my gaming lawyer, who's I'm very close to, he actually, before the show was on, and he and John Orlando together were saying, "Yeah, that looks like a fix to me." I was like, I couldn't believe the guys talk like that. I don't know. Do you understand what I mean, though, Gil?
Oh, yeah,
you really
yeah.
don't think something like that, right? I mean,
no, but I will say this. I understand people saying it more for that kind of thing than I do like our major American sports. That's when I really am like, okay. When people are like, "Oh, the fix is in, the refs called it in like a football game," I'm like, okay, that is not what's happening. But in something like this, though, I mean, you would concede. Let me just take John's side just so, because we're talking about John. I've never met John.
Yep.
But you would concede that something like this is much more fixable. And so it lends, I do think you're right. There's some confirmation bias when people lose their bets, particularly, right? Then our human brains immediately go to, what's the excuse for me losing that bet? Aha, I've got one. It's a fix, right? So people do that. But, you know, and something, it's not a fix. The dude just, you know, I totally get it. But I guess what I'm saying is some things are more fixable than others. Look, the sport that I enjoy betting the most, tennis, that stuff is real. Like every once in a while, somebody is fixing a match, you know, like that. And it's exposed as fact that someone is been up to no good. So when it's an individual sport, it's just a whole bunch more fixable. And so that's the only caveat I would suggest. But I'm with you. That was not a fix. Yeah.
You remember like High Lie? I don't know if you remember that.
Dude,
my aunts and uncles used to always go to Florida.
I used to bet it in Miami. I used to go to
Miami.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the part of my.
I didn't think you were old enough to bet it, but anyway.
We were young. We were super young. Yeah.
Yeah. No, High Lie. Now that was some stuff you'd watch there and you'd say, "Wow, I'm sure there was something involved." You know, you got these guys throwing a ball against the wall, making $100,000 a year where they can make that in a nice weekend. I understand certain things like that could be fixed, but there wasn't the money involved, I don't think, here.
Yeah.
And
I remember betting, and we would go to a ticket window. We're in Miami. We'd go to a ticket window and we'd bet, and it would inevitably come down to some dude who had been playing great. And by the way, I don't even know if you say playing great highlight. Like, I don't even know what the phrase is. We didn't even know what we were watching, right?
Right.
And a guy who had been playing great, all of a sudden, like, the ball, the pelota goes into his cesta, and all of a sudden he would just magically drop it at the wrong time. And you'd be like, "Oh, really? Did that just happen?" I mean, it was so blatant. At least it looked that way to us, the untrained eye.
Yeah, yeah. But all right, let's get into some draftings. I've done very well on draft props.
Wait, before we do that, because we're going to hit a break. So we're gonna save the draft for the other side of the break. But what do you think about this here? This is from Bleacher Report. Pardon me. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul, Jake's brother, planned in quotes for June 5th. What are we doing, Bill?
I seen that last night. I don't know. One of the sports books in Jersey actually posted it, weirdly. But yeah, What do I think? I mean, I guess, you know, there's money involved. I don't know Logan Paul. That's his brother, right? It's Jake's
yes.
brother, right?
Yes.
And also an internet star, I guess.
I guess, yes. YouTuber, yes. I guess what I'm saying is this. Think about how much, like, literally I remember going to the bank before. The actual physical bricks and mortar bank before the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight. And the guy looking at me quizzically, taking out money. And I was like, don't worry, I'll be back on Monday. I'll just put it back on Monday.
Right.
How much money will we be taking out of banks before this one? Like, what will the price be? Good Lord.
They'll make it unbettable. They'll make it where you can only bet Logan Paul.
Yeah, that's probably
I'm sure the price will be so ridiculous on Floyd.
That Mayweather-McGregor thing will never happen again. We will never get that kind of betting trajectory.
But how much money is involved in this? Floyd's not fighting for under $100 million.
Right. That's what I'm saying. What's Floyd doing?
Jesus.
I'll believe that
fight. Must be having some bad blackjack sessions.
I'll believe that fight when I see it. We will get Bill's NFL draft plays. What he has bet a week out from the 2021 NFL draft, which again, full wall-to-wall coverage here at VSiN. The primetime action crew from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. That's 8 to midnight Eastern that night. Brent Musburger, Mike Pritchard, Michael Lombardi, Jonathan Von Tobel, Tim Murray will all be there on draft night. His props, cracks props, next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN 100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Yankees or Tribe, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. Just one. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. And 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. I mentioned at the very outset of the show that I played Kei Nishikori at plus 786. Just on the off chance that Rafael Nadal, his troubles, in quotes, on clay lately, losing, having the audacity to lose to Andrei Rublev last week, and then barely getting by a qualifier, Ilya Ivashka, yesterday. So Nadal bageled Nishikori in the first set. Nishikori comes back to beat him in the second set, 6-2. So I have a plus 786 on one set of tennis, Nadal and Nishikori. This could get interesting. Bill Krakenberger is here, though. We got one more segment with the Crack Man. That's the first time I checked it, too. Crack, how you doing, man? You good from his lair?
Let me ask you now that you're talking about that.
Yeah.
Because mathematically, you have a big edge now on your bet after a 6-2 set. Is there live betting between sets?
Yes.
Is that available?
There is live betting in tennis between sets, between games, during games. Let me tell you something. Live tennis betting is where it's at. Problem is,
the same thing you want to bet during the stoppages, right? If you're telling me.
Correct.
You could bet during the live play when
you're
hitting the ball?
Correct. Oh. You should definitely do it in stoppages because exactly what you're saying. Because while you may be seeing that a score is, let's say, 15-love, it could be 15-30 by the time you're actually getting the bet.
Wow.
So you have to – I absolutely would do it during stoppages for sure. I'm going
to
turn
it. It's always good for people to know that out there.
Yes.
What Gil's saying, and that was just a lucky word I came up with because I don't watch tennis. Stoppages. Same thing during football, basketball, commercials only. is when I and I'm sure Gil would recommend betting anything live.
100%.
With any sports betting site. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. But,
unless you have made it your life's goal to come up with technology that is equally awesome to that of a sports book. Yes.
There you go.
But mere mortals like ourselves, it's good to wait to the stoppages when live betting. All right, so NFL draft. What have you bet so far, sir?
Let me just tell you, and again, giving credit here to Circa as usual. Jesus. I have to give them credit coming up with these guys like this guy Mayfield here. I'm looking at Mayfield, 54.5. Most places won't go above, 20, 25. That's even being generous.
They did a tremendous job, Bill.
Oh. And they have absolutely moved off me, too, because I bet this guy Mayfield over 45.5. They moved to 51.5. I bet it again over 51.5. It's now, I think it's 64.5 or something. It's pretty high up anyway. It's 54.5. Okay. But anyway, going back to this kind of thing, though, I have to give them credit. They offer things like not only that, they offer, let's see. I have it here. They have. Oh, by the way, I just used the wrong. It goes to show you. I don't know. By the way, I don't know any of these players. I have to go by my stat guys. The guy I was referring to, actually, Mayfield was a little tiny bet. Carmen was the bet. Carmen. Carmen is 62.5 now, and we bet that over 45.5. So let's correct that.
The biggest examples of that, I was saying, they opened it at 9 a.m. Pacific on Saturday. They did a spectacular job. The fact that we have come, to this now in NFL draft props, they deserve all the credit in the world. I was joking the other day. I was like, I'm a little upset with them because I didn't even know about it till late Friday night, right? So I wasn't as liquid as I needed to be. So I didn't get there at 9 a.m. I got there at 10:20. But there were two bets I wanted to make that I didn't get to. One of them was Davis Mills under 140.5. And the other one was Kellen Mond under 170.5. By the time I got there, 80 minutes later, Mills was 81.5 and Mond was 98.5. They had literally moved, in one case, 59 spots, and the other 72 spots. I mean, it was amazing. If you're not first.
Well, there's even a better example that you're saying.
Yeah.
And not being liquid enough, shame on you.
Yes.
You're not one of those guys that carry a credit card or your bank card and go to the bank to pull out $20, are you? You're
no.
Not, you know those guys?
No, okay. It just happened that way. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding you.
Yeah.
But also they had like this Kyle Trask, which is, he's like 60th or something, but they had him to go, some future bets here to go to the Seattle at 100-1, the Browns 125-1, Chiefs 125-1. No one offers a 60th pick props to go to teams like that. I have to give Circa a lot of credit. And yesterday I asked for questions on my podcast. I went on Twitter and said, hey, do you guys have any questions I can answer on the show for you? And one of the guys on Twitter who I probably mistakenly thought, he was being sarcastic, but he might have been too. It could have been. So he said, say something nice about Stations, Will Hill, South Point, Wynn, or MGM.
There you go.
I left out Circa and Westgate because they seem to be the only places that you ever say anything nice about. So I have to correct him. I talk good about the South Point at times.
Yes,
I'll talk good when the situation's there. Listen, they took the bets on March Madness up to 10,000 a play before anybody else. I thought that was amazing. They have 05 juice on certain things. March Madness, they had 05 juice. I don't know if it was on the final 16 or something. But there is things they do that I do give them credit for. I don't like that the app limits are so low on certain things. But that's, I could talk good and bad about everybody. I really can't say too much good about certain places. Listen, Stations, I'm not allowed to play in. So how can I can't bet on the app. I got thrown off because I made a bet on the app that I had an advantage over the sportsbook, knowing quarterback wasn't going to be out. I lost, by the way. But William Hill, I get thrown out of for winning. So I can't say anything good about those places. The win limits me. They limit me to a certain amount of money that I'm – I could play at the desk. I got to give Doug credit there. He does let me play. I bet a couple thousand per game on college basketball games. They took them. And the app, they take less. MGM, same kind of thing. I miss the old MGM. You understand, Gil? Mm-hmm. You pop right downstairs,
yes,
and you used to be able to make bets. And I miss the MGM compared to the MGM app. I wish the guys that run the MGM app didn't know it was me playing. So I like to bet.
I will tell you. I will tell you though. BetMGM does a great job. Even the Nevada one, right? Like they have some stuff in New Jersey they don't have here sometimes, which is bothersome.
Correct.
But they have done a great job keeping baseball stuff up in a way that nobody else seems to here in Nevada. So shout out to them for that. That's awesome that they do that.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, there's pros and cons of every sports book. And one thing about me, and you know, I can't stop being who I am. I can't stop talking, saying the good things about sports books and the bad things about sports. For me, it's not really a personal matter. So anyway, going back to what you said, you just said something which was going to be my closeout for the show. BetMGM, boy, they have some really good. And I'm giving away maybe a little bit here. They got some really good stuff up there on their app, on the Jersey app, on the East Coast app. They really do. They have some really good, some low-hanging fruit. Listen, this draft, it's kind of new to them. This is a new thing for BetMGM. And I give them a lot of credit. They're taking some bets. I know for a fact there's been a crew over at the Borgata in Atlantic City betting $2,000 a prop. And I told them when they went in there, I said, listen, you're never going to get $2,000 on props. Stand corrected. They did get $2,000 on each player. Shocked. They took them. You know, you have to give your ID or whatever it may be, but I was really shocked. The BetMGM, and you know what's weird, too? The BetMGM app in New Jersey is different than the counter right in front of them. So the BetMGM app will have something -115, but yet at the counter, it's +105. That's a real bet, too.
Interesting.
I find that interesting. That also happens with other apps, too, not just MGM. So I've seen that at these kind of jurisdictions. But
Bill, yeah, there's 90 seconds. You said the Carmen, you bet, but the number's already gone, right?
Carmen, the number's gone. But my guys still think that it's going to be way over. Even though we actually betted over, like I said, 45.5, over 51.5. It moved up now. We think we think that's an easy winner. So I like to bet. I would have liked to bet more money on that.
Still over. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And Mayfield also was a bet that I bet over. That's still obtainable at 45.5, I believe. It's not a bad bet on the over.
Okay.
But I can't get that out to everyone though, because only Circa offers that. So I can't give it out to even the back East books that offer draft props, the FanDuels, the DraftKings, the points bet. They don't have those. They stop at a certain number. So that's why I have to give credit to Circa on that. So
hey,
it should be fun.
They deserve credit for sure. They did a great job on Saturday morning. Shout out to them on that. Bill, we got to run. I got one eye on you. I got one eye on this tennis match. Kana Shikori with a break point at +784. I just want to point that out.
Wow.
Get it done, Nishikori. Appreciate it, Bill, as always. Great talk.
Thank you.
CLV. We always run into some stuff, so I appreciate it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with everything the rest of the way. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Wise Cracks, the name of the podcast once again, which he does with John Orlando. Available where all podcasts are distributed, and the breakpoint goes by the wayside. So it didn't happen. I didn't get the break on Nishikori, but it is on serve still. Deuce 1-1 in the third. Again, +784. In game right now, it's about half of that. So again, no, +221 right now on Nishikori. So he's still a considerable dog, though not +784. Betting tennis in the morning overseas, it's a fabulous thing. Good luck with everything. Again, season win totals from Jeff Schwartz. Jason will have that in the newsletter. Todd had some baseball leans. Andy McNeil on the Hurricanes tonight, including a prop on the Bruins, Taylor Hall as well. Enjoy. Good luck with everything. Lombardi Line next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using promo code VSIN100, and if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Yankees or Indians, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada.
VSiN is here to help you learn more about sports betting. Sign up for our free daily newsletter at VSiN.com/email, and you'll get show highlights and expert insights every morning. That's VSiN.com/email. If you didn't catch VSiN last week, here's some of what you missed.
They traded up to 3 to pick anybody but Mac Jones, right? They're not trading up to 3 to pick Mac Jones because you could have had Mac Jones at 8 or 9. So it's either for Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I have never wavered from that position. Only to be greeted, by the way, the next day by the Matt Maiocas of the world from the Bay Area, our own Michael Lombardi. Every NFL insider was like, it's absolutely Mac Jones. He fits the Kyle Shanahan mold, so on and so forth. Well, it's getting interesting. By the way, I have no idea if I'm right or not. No idea. But yesterday, the move on Justin Fields at number 3 became very, very interesting. And remember, betting markets, I'll take that over, the mainstream media position on this. Here it is, odds to be the 3rd overall pick. We have them up here at 4 books, BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, and PointsBet. We ran this last night on Primetime Action. Looky there. Justin Fields is your favorite across the board. Again, does this mean that it will happen? No. Does this mean I'll be right? I have no idea. But I have never bought for 1 second that the Niners were trading up to draft Mac Jones. Just doesn't make any sense.